Jones, Earl of Sub-Tuvalu. Meals were prepared. One person suggested. पहले नमाज पढ़ लेंगे फिर इत्मीनान के साथ खाना खा लेंगे. We'll perform our namaz and comfortably and relaxed we will have our meals. Like how we have rice and all that. So we want to have it in a very relaxed and a very smooth atmosphere. Societies are going one way, societies are going, salam is maulud, everything is going. So in a very relaxed and comfortable atmosphere we'll have our meals. So Mufsa Rahman's reply to that was, Musalman kab itminan ke saath khana khata hai? اطمینان کے ساتھ تو نماز پڑھتا ہے. When do you find a Muslim eating comfortably, peacefully, relaxed? As his namaz is in a very relaxed, very comfortable, very smooth and peaceful atmosphere. فَإِذَا اطْمَأْنَنْتُمْ فَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ. There can be two situations. One is a state of fear, etc. A state where you are traveling. Then you will rush through the salat. You are in an aeroplane and you have to perform the namaz. So you are mindful about the rest of the passengers as well. It is not only you that has chartered the plane, others also chartered the plane. You have a right, they have a right. So you cannot claim that because you are a Muslim, therefore you have superior rights. All have rights, and it is our duty. Then we are considerate towards others. Co-passengers, we are considerate in the aisles, in the toilets, wherever we are considerate towards them. But in the process, when we're going to be performing our namaz, then we're not going to read one surah or one sipara in one rakat. We'll try and read Inna Atayna Kulhu Allah and finish that namaz, so that the staff, they can comfortably move on the aisles. If someone is in an urge to go to the toilet, he can go to the toilet. And overall, we are giving the right message to the rest of the we are giving the right message to the rest of the passengers that this is Islam. We will pray also, but we will not inconvenience you. We are not inconsiderate towards you. So we are doing our namaz, but with a spirit of consideration. But then, when you are relaxed, you're at home, you are relaxed, comfortable, not under any stress, no obligation. Now you're not going to perform your namaz inna atayna kulhu Allah and shoot through the namaz. Now you relax, take your time, make the qiyam correctly, make the ruku correctly, make the sajda correctly. You can add quality to that namaz. So you want to cry out, you cry out to Allah Ta'ala. You want to ask out, you ask Allah Ta'ala. And it is a time, it is an occasion to ask Allah Ta'ala. أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ. The closest that you are to Allah Ta'ala is at the time that you are in the state of sajda. That's the closest that you are. So then, فَقَمِنٌ أَيُسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ. It is very likely that your du'as will get answered. The spirit of dua is that the person's mind must be such, فَإِذَا رَكِبُ الْفُلْكَ دَعَوُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. Imagine a person to be in Mitsi and he's going through some turbulent times, right? He's been tossed and turned. Waves are smashing him from beneath, from the sides, from in front, from behind. You can imagine when he's got nowhere to ask for help. Can't send a SOS signal, he doesn't have any type of communication line, nowhere. At that time, even a kafir, who does he call to? He calls to Allah Ta'ala at that time. Therefore the hadith says that when that distressed and that oppressed person raises his hand to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala says, I will answer you even though you are a kafir. A kafir, I'll answer you. وَلُوْ بَعْدَ حِينٍ, after some time, but I'm going to answer you. Because you're asking in that spirit, there is no one but Allah Ta'ala. There's nobody to rescue you but Allah Ta'ala. There's nobody to come to your aid but Allah Ta'ala. You've got that frame of mind, so I'm going to answer you. So the spirit of salah is that, spirit of salah requires that you perform it peacefully, calmly, relaxed. Provided that you are not inconveniencing anybody. There's a program or there's something, someone is waiting for you. You're not inconveniencing anybody. You're going to the Istima, for example, to Cape Town, and now en route you have to perform your namaz at an ultra shell. So now you're not going to read one whole sipara there. You're going to read your namaz, but in a way that you don't inconvenience the rest of the satis. When you come over home, then in your home, then you're going to read a long rakat. Even in the masjid that you are, then don't read a very long rakat, especially after Isha. Because the muazzin wants to lock up and go, and you're holding him up now. He also got wife, he got children, he got things to attend to. Right? And the hadith also encourages you that some part of your salah, leave it for the home. Just as the masjid is filled with barakat because of the recitation, namaz, zikr, etc., then some of that barakat has to be transferred to your home. Quran, recitation, zikr, tilawat. Now, there'll be harmony, there'll be happiness, there'll be goodness in that home. Because it's being covered and surrounded by malaika. Haffathumul malaika. Malaika are surrounding your home. So there's happiness there, there's pleasure there, there's enjoyment, there's understanding. So some part of that namaz, the zikr, etc., dedicated to your home. But now at home, you are in a position that you're not in anybody's way, not inconveniencing anybody. You're not blocking anybody, nobody's blocking you. You're not an obstruction to anybody, nobody's obstructing you. So Musab Rahmatullah gave him this reply. Musalman, kab itminan se bed karke khata hai. You don't find relaxed and eating 1 hour, half an hour, 3/4 hour, eating gajar, alwa, then another one, pies coming in, then samosa coming in, and we're sitting and relaxing, then kachumar, starters, then juice coming in, then soup coming in. That is not a Muslim. It's not a Muslim's way to eat. A Muslim's way is different. The first, the nafil namaz, then the sunnat namaz, then the faraz namaz, then the Quran Sharif. This is how he looks at life. And the kafir, the main thing in his life, the main theme is eat and enjoy. يَأْكُلُونَ وَيَتَمَتَّعُونَ. Now, this person up till this point, though he was an alim, but he couldn't understand this. See, until Musab Rahmatullah had to correct him. Musalman kab itminan se bed karke khana khata hai. You don't find a Muslim relaxed and eating, enjoying. No. He eats as per necessity and he gets up and he's gone, he's moving. But his namaz is in a very relaxed, very calm, very, very relaxed and calm, serene state. It's between him and Allah Ta'ala. Dedication. Right? As though when he's engaged himself in the two rakats, all that tiredness, that fatigue, that stress, everything just dropped over. You don't need to go for a massage and a relaxation of the neck and get all those knots out. Everything is cleared up. But please, for Allah Ta'ala's sake, don't read namaz to get the knots out. Don't read namaz to get the joints right. Don't increase your ruku that all the joints will come right. It's not a gym. Namaz is not a gym. You're turning, you're transforming the namaz into a gym. Gym khana ke. Allahu Akbar. Let me make my long ruku so all my joints will come right. Like someone saying that, you know, in India they use gobar. Gobar is, what they call it? Dung, right? You don't say I'm buying the cow for the dung. You're buying it for the milk. But the dung will come in the package, it will come in. So the gymming, etc. is like the dung. That will come in. But don't do your namaz because of that exercise. You're mixing the whole thing up. You're confusing it. You're doing for Allah Ta'ala. Are you doing the ruku? And I say, hey, I'm feeling so strong now. Muscles are getting relaxed. Everything coming right. So don't do it for relaxation. And don't do it for exercising. Don't do it as a gymming process. Do it because it is the command of Allah Ta'ala. It is the closest way to reach up to Allah Ta'ala. It is the way that you draw from the treasures of Allah Ta'ala. But what I learned from this, Mustafa Rahman explained this, what I learned from this, is Buzurgon se hasil karne ki cheez sahi zauk hai. The thing that you learn from the Buzurgan Deen is not just namaz. Namaz or keeping a beard or putting on a kurta. That's not the thing that you learn from them. Because that, in a minute you can do it, you can change it. You didn't have a kurta, you put on a kurta. You didn't have a beard, you put on a beard. Didn't wear a topi, you put on a beard. Or topi, right? But the real thing to learn from them is the right frame of mind to shape and to map the mind correctly. That is the thing that you have to learn. And that takes a lot of time. To get you, to put you onto an amal is easy. But to get you into the right frame of thinking, that's a difficult task, not an easy thing. I gave one example. Second example of right thinking. Now, this Buzurgan Deen was so easy for them because their main minds were already mapped and shaped. So in seconds they will correct you and they will shape you. One student was studying with us, very quite healthy person, and likes, is fond of his good food. You get some people just fond of good food. My night and day. Subho ko kya khayenge, phir sham ko kya khayenge. Subho ko kya khayenge, phir sham ko kya khayenge. What are you going to eat in the morning? What's in the evening? Big mashwara about that. So that's the whole figure, concern. So in that concern of his, he's asking Mustafa Rahmatullahi, to eat salt is sunnat at the beginning or to eat salt is sunnat at the ending of the meals? To eat salt, is it sunnat at the beginning of the meal or to eat salt is sunnat at the end of the meals? Now look at his beautiful reply. I saw him nice, plump, like his food and all that. And he had an understanding, Mustafa could joke with him, he could joke with Mustafa. So he won't take offense. So Mustafa Rahmatullahi corrected him. He says, kam khana bhi sunnat hai. To eat less is also sunnah. So you only look at sunnah that is convenient to you. But the thing that was the essence of the sunnah, to eat less, moderately, to eat, not to overeat. We aren't here just to eat and enjoy. It's not the purpose. But you see the whole frame of thought, you know, your mind is changing. It's shaping the mind. I was explaining one lengthy hadith, but I just want to explain this one portion of the hadith. The shepherd is coming in with some sheep. So Rasulullah is saying his guest, Inna lana miyata shati, la nuridu an nazidan an yazid alayha. So we got 100 sheep. We don't want this number to go over 100. So when it goes over 100, nasbahu makanaha shatan. When it goes over 100, then we slaughter one. Goes over 100, then we slaughter one. In other words, if one has given birth, then it's 101, so we will slaughter one. Right? Now, Nabi's person has to take care of his Mubarak wife, his homes, 9 wives he's got. Then delegations are pouring into Medina, sometimes 15 at a time, 20, 30 people at a time. So he has to, it's a delegation. Delegation is a selected class representing a community, so they have to be respected accordingly. So for their reasons, he has to keep something. But then he has to draw a line also. I can't say, no, I'm supporting a madrasa, I need this 100 million and 200 million and 300 million. Nabi Sassam is the example. So he says that we have got 100, we don't want it to go over 100. Now look at it in retrospect. Right? So how we think, hey, 1 million is alright, but you know, the rainy day needs something. Man. And then the rainy day, maybe, then there'll be a stormy day, we need 10 million, you know. And then there may be a tsunami day, we need 100 million. And perhaps we need to move to another country. South Africa's money is not of no value now. Perhaps we need a billion now. And that billion also, it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop at that point. No, we have to support this madrasa, do this, do that. But Nabi Sam didn't know about generosity. And was there anybody as generous as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Was there anybody that was supporting the cause of Islam more than him? Now suddenly we came up, we rocked up to the scene now, and we said, now we need so much, we need to serve, and we need to look after so many projects. But Nabi Sallam wasn't doing it. Was there anybody that was looking after the orphans more, after widows more, after dini projects more than him? But he said, now we got 100, we don't want this number to go over 100. That's class, draw the line. Cut it off then. Now who of us can think like this? Who of us can have that level of contentment? I got enough plus enough. After that now, I must just break even. Whatever I got now, I must carry on life with this that I've got. Now this is called the right thinking, right understanding. Contentment, one side I showed you namaz on the other end. What was the frame of mind of our elders, how did they think namaz? Eating, I showed you, what was the frame of mind? Now can we say that we conform to that standard in any way? Are we off the standard, off the course? So if we're off the course, then there is something that is deficient in us. The thing that is deficient in us is Noor, right? We just keep the name Noor Muhammad. And we think now he's full of Noor now. Now that's a problem with a lot of aunties. Hey, my child, I need to keep. What name? What name must I keep? Nowadays I don't suggest any name. I just say, what names you got? What have you all decided? Then they say Junaid and Zahir and all new time of names. You know, Shamim and Hamim and what names they come from. So you rather ask them what names you have thought of. From the names that they think, then you select one and say, alright, take the name. Now, the stupid aunties, they don't realize. Sorry, I'm sorry to use the word stupid aunties because I used the word last time and I got a big lecture. On my email, I got a big lecture after that. So rather say intelligent aunties. So if anybody's hearing me, they don't say, you know, I used the wrong word. Alright, the intelligent aunties, right? You have to get the words across, the message across, not to spite anybody, not to smash down somebody, but to get a message across. So, the greater concern is about the name. Whereas the greater concern was to make the person. Not the name. Name was not so important. Keep a good suitable name. But now dedicate yourself in bringing up the child, rearing him up, giving him the right shape. You got a garden. You gave a very beautiful name to a garden. The meadows. Gave a good name. So that meadows is not such an important thing. The more important thing is what shape you give it to the garden. What dedication, what spirit, how you take care, how you take care of the thing. What type of fertilizer, irrigation, how you prune the thing. The type of shape you give to the garden, that's more important. The name is not that important. Alright, it's good to have a good name. But more important than the good name is to give it the right shape. Now, for the name is such a big fight. Auntie is saying this, and the grandfather is saying this, and the wife is saying this, and so-and-so is saying this now. They have to make istikhara, what name to keep. So more than all that, are you dedicating yourself to give the right shape to your child? Thinking is right. So for this thinking to go right, what is required? The thing that is required is Noor. Now Noor is a subject on its own. It's a very big subject, very, very broad subject. But let me just give you the summary of it. I'm looking at the lectures that Abu Zugara used to give, you know. What time they should give? 3-hour, 4-hour session. And sometimes he's standing and giving the talk. 3 hours. One place I saw about 4 hours and he's standing and giving the talk. So I think when you compare ourselves, then the speaker is not strong and nor are the audience so strong. We don't have the time, 3 hours, 4 hours. But now the thing is that the whole topic has to be opened out for the message to go right into you. But the message, I don't have the time, then you get the message, but some portions of it. Some parts you get, some parts you don't get. Because that amount of time wasn't given, dedicated. So you don't get the message how you're supposed to be getting it. Nonetheless, let's summarize the word Noor, right? From the different tafsirs I've seen, right? So I'll just give a summary that you'll get the gist of the meaning. There's two basic elements in this Noor. One is to have the right motivation. Not just motivation, but the right motivation. To be motivated, but the right motivation, right? And the second is to have the right understanding. not just motivation and not just understanding. Sometimes a person can have an understanding, but no motivation, nothing to drive him. Like a general complaint that you after Ramadan, now everything is getting flat. Don't we hear that? There's a fluctuation, there's a drop. Ramadan time we were going hard, we were going fast, the spirit is moving. After Ramadan, one sipara we can't do it. Let alone two or three siparas. Ramadan we are doing three siparas, five siparas, six siparas, we are sending it. And now one sipara we can't find the time. So Ramadan time there was that motivation to do, the right motivation. And there was the right understanding supported, right? Now, let me just explain the right motivation. With right understanding. One person, Haji Abdul Ghaffar Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, a very great buzurg, one of the greater khulafa of Hazrat Maulana Thani Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi. It is the system of Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala grants you this inspiration. Everybody gets it. But then some people and some person exploits that inspiration and he uses it. And some person just totally ignores it. He's getting an inspiration to do the good, but he's not concerned about it. It's namaz time, for example. And the inspiration is coming hard. Just close up and go for namaz. So now just one more customer, it won't make a difference, you know. Or it's before namaz, say 10 minutes, 15 minutes before namaz. And the inspiration is coming, you know, you need to go to the toilet, clean up, wuzu, pani, etc., everything to get it in time, you know. To get it done smoothly, I need at least 15 minutes before the azan. So right, never mind, one, two customers, let me just one, two orders and ends there. And then, one thing leads to the other. And before you know it, it's just 5 minutes before the namaz. Like rushing through your toilet, rushing through your wuzu, getting in. Just making it for the takbir ula, you couldn't get the sunnats. Or you're getting the jamaat one rakat down, two rakats down. So that inspiration is from Allah Ta'ala. Go and do it, it's from Allah Ta'ala. And the right thing is, when that inspiration comes, then you need to exploit it at the same time. Because this is the guest of Allah Ta'ala. Mehmane latiful mizaj. Mehmanat latiful mizaj. It is a mehman, it's a guest of Allah Ta'ala. With a very, very fine temperament. Very, very refined temperament. And if you just ignore that inspiration, then that thing moves away. It doesn't come back. Gone. Your eyes caught up, tahajjud time, right? Quarter past 3 o'clock, up past 3, your eyes were up. One more, couple of wings more. 5:09 or something is still the time, you know. And 4, now what are you going to do from 4 to 5, you know, you've got a long day still. And before you know it, and then you hear the Muazzin is saying, Allahu Akbar, inna lillahi amishal mustajud. But Allah Pak opened your eyes, then why didn't you exploit that moment? You opened your eyes, you had a good sleep. Why didn't you open? Why didn't you exploit that moment? So you need the inspiration, you need the motivation, with the right type of motivation, with the right support, with the right understanding. So this Haji Abdul Ghaffar Sahib, he got that inspiration, motivation to do good. He heard one bayan perhaps of Hazrat Maulana Thani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, and now he's motivated to go and change his life. So he didn't consult his wife, nor his children, nobody, just to one parcel, whatever he had, he put it inside. Jumped him through the train because he knew that he is born with his wife is such, his wife will never allow him. So rather than going through the long way, the right way, let me just circumvent the whole thing, let me just take some my basics, let me just jump the train. I jumped the train and he's reading on Kitab. So as he's just near Saharanpur, the Kitab is flipping through, so now I can't take the next train because the next train is coming the following morning. That Zaman, I took up now 90 years ago. It's coming next morning, so I'll just have to sleep over at Saharanpur, then I'll take the next train. But now he's flipping through the Kitab. So as he's flipping through the Kitab, so he comes across one story, and it's about a similar person, you know. And the Mawlana is giving an explanation of a person in a similar predicament, and he gave up everything. He lost out everything, so he was to the point of desperation. The point of desperation, he went to ask. Hunger, pangs of hunger, so he went to ask. So anyway, as he knocked at the door, the woman opened the door, hunger, alright, I need some bread or something, alright. So she says out of curiosity, can I just inspect your bag? She recognized this person here to be her ex-husband. And she requested that I want to see this bag of yours. Well, the beggar gives into everything, right? So I take my bag to check it up. So I got a parcel, a little bit of rice there, a little bit of spices, and some cutlery, whatever is required to prepare and cook. She's got all these things here. So she gave him the bread as he requested, gave him the bread. And then she asked him, but what is this cutlery for? And what is this rice for? What is this atta for? And what is this salt for? And the rest of the things that he had, what is this for? He said, well, I've kept it just in case I need these things here, so I kept these things. So she packed everything into his bag, and she flung the thing. And then she insults him. Okay, I was the only spanner in the works that you had to divorce me to reach Allah Ta'ala. These were not spanners in the works. This cutlery that you got, this rice that you got, this atta that you got, the spices that you got, when they also spanners in the works, I was the only person that you had to throw me out or you had to divorce me and separate me in order to come close to Allah Ta'ala. Now he read this, he got a shock of his life. Said, I had the motivation, but the motivation was not right, wasn't controlled and guided. Now I know, and he says to himself, I know the mizaj of Al-Mu'tami Sahib Rahmatullah, because I heard his 2-3 bayans. And if he's just going to ask me what, you know, under what circumstances you left, you tell your wife and children, do they know about it? And have you left anything for them? I'll have no answers. So what was the reason for him making this type of a decision? He was motivated, but the motivation wasn't right. But he was a very fair person to himself. See, sometimes what happens to us is we've got a motivation and then we are adamant in our thinking, our thought. But this person wasn't adamant in his thought. See, like you tell the person 1 time, 2 times, 10 times, but he's adamant in his thought that his thinking is right. So he's adamant in his way. Now you can't break ice with the person. You can't work with the person. You told him once, twice, thrice, but enough. Now you want to go that way, you carry on that way, but you don't want him to change you also. So now he understood that he's going on the wrong track. The right thing is that, I don't know about this. When I don't know about this, I just read some literature, and I can't say that I know it. Like, it's a patient that read some books on heart, right? He can't claim to know about the heart. A little bit of information he's got here. He can't apply that information. He's going to apply that information randomly. He'll cause a problem for himself. Now lately there's a book that came out that must eat a lot of cream and butter. It's very healthy. And now the heart doctors were saying just before that you mustn't eat cream and butter and all that. Now they're coming out with another theory that is not at all harmful. Leave out oil, but you must eat butter. And now the theory is now which one to take, which one to reject. Now they say, mustn't eat margarine, but eat butter, it's healthier. Just now, before they were saying that, no, you must eat margarine, don't eat butter. So, you don't know how they're changing, you don't know it, right? But the right thing for the patient is what? The right thing for the patient is not to go with the book. He was referred to someone. Because this is a system of Allah. He's prepared the system in this manner, that you will go to your senior. That's a system he's created. Right? So, the right motivation. So, Noor, in a nutshell, means the right motivation with the right understanding. And you got that, you got Noor. Now, how desperately in need we are, every individual, how desperately in need he is for Noor. That is why one of the du'as that is read in the morning, you know, around time of Fajr or before Fajr, Allahumma ij'al fi qalbi noora, fi basari noora, a long, lengthy du'a, about 5-6 lines du'a. My heart, Allah, fill it up with Noor. My eyes, my ears. My skin, my blood, my flesh, before me, behind me, on my sides, above me, below me. And then make me an embodiment of Noor. So much of dua just for Noor. Can you see that? That my eyes will see the right things, will see things rightly, and will see the right things. It will see things rightly, and it will see the right things. My ears also will listen to the things that are right, and they will listen to it correctly. Otherwise, I will be deficient in my listening. I will understand half the message, half the message I haven't understood. If my eyes are not seeing right, I will see things, but I will see things deficiently. I won't see it right. So my sight will be deficient, my hearing will be deficient, my tongue will be deficient. So I want to be an embodiment of Nur. Waj'alni Nura, waj'alni Nura, waj'alni Nura, wazidni Nura. And then Nur is such a thing that it doesn't stop at any point. And increase me in that Nur. To the point that when a person dies, then we say, Allah Ta'ala, fill his grave with Nur. Don't be making that dua. Then on the day of Qiyamah, you're saying, Allahumma atmim lana Nurana. Nurhum yas'a bayna aydihim wa bi'imanihim. Allah Ta'ala has given them a Nur, a light. That same light, here it transforms in a different shape. In this world, it will transform as right understanding with right motivation. But as you reach the grave, then that Nur is something else. Now it's repelling all the darkness, all the problems that can affect you in the grave. It's just getting rid of everything. That Nur is just a rig. Then in the darkness of the grave, it's helping you out. On the darkness on the day of Qiyamah, it's helping you out. So you're saying, Atmim lana Nurana waghfir lana. Now, the question is that how do we get this Nur? See, that you inspire all the time rightly, and you understanding and seeing things rightly as well. One is to understand things rightly, to see things rightly, and to be rightly motivated as well. The motivation is right. You need to do this. So you don't just need to have the understanding, but you need to have the motivation as well. You just have the understanding, right? I know namaz got 4 faras, I know namaz is faras. But have you got the motivation? You don't have the motivation. Mullah Ismail Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh says that in the old days, the talim was very strong in the homes, to the point that I used to teach my sisters Mishkat Sharif. And it was a general trend amongst all our kabir that there was talim in the house. And the talim was not just restricted to fazail amal, fazail sadaqat. Although I say that people by just do this is a karamat, fazail amal, fazail sadaqat, and best is ever. They were teaching them all the kitabs. In Kandla, in the day of Hazrat Mullah Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, the women were reading Shami and Dura Mukhtar. Or Arabic. They were reading that. Nearly every second, third woman knew about it. So this talim in the house was very, very great. There was a lot of emphasis. Now, hum bhi bigar gaye, to humari aurate bhi bigar gaye. We are spoiled, so they are spoiled. We are spoiled like this. Where's the half moon? Where's the samosa? Where's the pizza? Where's this food? Where's that food? Our mind goes on to food, and their minds go on to food. The three quarter of the day, you are making figure about food, they're making figure about food. Isn't that a pitiful state? That our whole magaj is about food. Food, food. Right type of food. So, just prepare it right. You see, right understanding, right motivation, and right understanding. What an important thing it is. Once there was a dawat, one of my friends, he had bought one farm. You know, he had this game farm. He bought a game farm. Nice, couple of 1,000 hectares, right? Nice. So he called Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah, some other ulama were also invited, all were there. So Mufti Sahib got to know what was the reason for the dawat, that he bought this farm here now. Initiation, make dua for barakat. So I said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. There was a genuine expression of sorrow, genuine feeling of remorse. He says, before when the ulama were gathered together, right, they would come up ready with their vehicles, whatever they required. And then they were told, you go in this direction and make khidmat of deen on this side. You go in this direction and go and work for deen on this side. Now we have reduced ourselves so low, we've been called to travel 40 miles, 50 miles, just for a meal, just for pet's sake. This was our position, that we are called together to one place, that there is a need to go and serve deen in this area here. So a whole delegation of ulama are sent in that direction to go and serve deen there. Sometimes there is a need to go and serve deen in another quarter, and we are sent here. And now we've been called, we reduced, that means we don't have any value. Our only value is because we are good eaters. And this is the right thinking, see, the right thinking, right motivation. That's called Nur. And that is the thing that is to be searched and earned and acquired at the feet of this Buzurgan Adib. right thinking, right understanding, right motivation. So we are talking of how to earn this nur, you know. How to earn this nur. So in one Surah Hadid, right? Surah Hadid, about the last verse of the Quran. In Surah Hadid, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu taqullaha wa aminu bi rasulihi yu'tikum kiflayni min rahmatihi wa yaj'al lakum nuran. So he's asking you to do what? Two things. Adopt taqwa, and I'm giving my own translation here, be loyal to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa aminu bi rasulihi. Show your loyalty to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The word is amanu, but I'm translating it as show your loyalty to your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So believe, O believers, you fear Allah Ta'ala and show your loyalty to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In turn, what he will give you, he will double your reward. Others will get one reward for one act. One namaz, one reward. Two namaz, two reward. Right? Haram Sharif, you went and read namaz, 100,000. But you will get 200,000. Whatever you investing, your investments are 100% more than others. If they're getting one, then you're getting doubled. Anything you are doing is doubled. But that doubling is because of this. One is taqwa. And number two, is you're showing a commitment and a loyalty to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So on account of the loyalty, now you are at a different level. He's getting one and you are doubled. He's getting one and you're getting doubled. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ نُورًا تَمْشُونَ بِهِ. And the second thing that Allah Ta'ala will give you, will bestow you with, is He will grant you a nur, a light. So this is the way that you will get this nur. Right? Now then let us break this, the same taqwa, let us elucidate it even further. What do we refer to when we talk about taqwa? You know, because taqwa is an ingredient that will give you that nur. Loyalty to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam means sunnah, adhere to the sunnah, right? And taqwa means refrain from those things that are undesirable, doubtful, undesirable, leave those things. This is the crux of taqwa. Right? So for that, Allah Pak is going to double your reward. Someone is going, right? He's going to cover one speed and you're covering double speed. He's getting one reward, you're getting a double reward. So whatever others are doing, your rewards are getting doubled. Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu taqullaha wa aminu bi rasuli. So your rewards, yu'tikum kiflayni min rahmati. And the second thing Allah Pak is blessing you, wa yaj'al lakum nuran tamshuna bihi wa yaghfir lakum. He's going to bestow you a special light. A special light He's going to give you, something unique. So that light, what it does, that light then enables you to be able to decipher, to be able to distinguish, to be able to separate. Now what's happened to us is that there is so much of mist in the atmosphere, so much of cloudiness, that even the right things seem to be wrong. There is so much of mist and cloudiness in the atmosphere. You're going in a straight way, somebody is saying you something, and your whole mind is getting clouded, can't think right any longer. Azaji Rahmatullah gave an incident. He says that it was a buzurg, a great buzurg of the time, right? Great buzurg. In the words of Azaji Rahmatullah, it was a great buzurg of that time. And he saw a group of yogis. Yogis, they're doing their spiritual arts, whatever. And for a moment, he felt curious, let me see what's happening. Anyway, he got attracted to this thing here, and now he's finding it difficult to leave the thing. He's finding it very, very difficult to leave. He saw this, he's leaving, but he can't leave. And he says, "Hazrat, these words, ek ek kadam, ek ek man ke barabar hone lage." Now to move, to just move one step, was like moving a ton. You know, you're moving a ton. One step is like moving one ton. So nonetheless, I saw now, you know, I'm getting an attraction to kufr and disbelief. So I began to swear that thing, whatever. Eventually, with a lot of difficulty, I got home. I made istighfar, tawbah, and all that. In my sleep, then I saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam cautioned me, but what was the business of you going and showing attention to this? You see, a righteous person is a saintly person of the time, but he can get affected as well with the negative vibes that are going around, with the negative mist and the cloud that is going around. A righteous person is going off. So do we stand a chance? Can we say our education, our understanding, our iman is so powerful that nothing can put me off? Can we say that? A righteous person, a buzurg of the time, and one encounter with this thing here, and his mind is totally blocked off. His mind is clouded. And to move a foot is like moving a mountain. So Nabi Sallam is cautioning him in his sleep, in his dream. Okay, what was the business? Why did you have to go into this? He said, no. Now see, now he's alert. And he says, Mera kusur ho gaya. I made a mistake. I made a blunder. He didn't cover up for his mistake. See, now that's in this day, if anybody has been blessed with a gift, it's a gift of acknowledging and accepting. Yeah, your seniors, your elders, they have seen something that you haven't seen. They've experienced that you haven't experienced. It's easy for them just to say, just do this and don't do this. Don't ask them for lengthy explanation, but just do it, carry on, move on. And the reason is obvious that when they have seen the thing, they have experienced the thing, and you have encountered a problem once, right? They ask you to leave it, refrain from it. Now, when you want a lengthy explanation, as though you are doubting their integrity, that's why you want an explanation. Otherwise, if you had full confidence, you didn't need an explanation. Hazrat Maria Qibtiya radiyallahu anha, who mothered the child of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a child had passed away in infancy. When the child had passed away in infancy, so milk was still filling up. So she's very fond and thinking of the child, perhaps weeping. Nabi Sam saw her in that sorrowful state. Nabi Sam asked her, told her, that Allah Pak has appointed woman to complete the breastfeeding, a wet nurse to complete the breastfeeding. Now she's overjoyed. If you want, you can see it. No, I don't want to see it. Now, what she's saying to Rasulullah actually this much, that if I'm going to request this, that means that I don't believe in what you say. I believe in what my eyes see. So you see, this was a slave woman given to Nabi Sam as a gift, Maria Qibtiya. But you see a profound understanding that Nabi Sam said something, but finish, and I don't need to listen to anything. How happy mustn't have felt? How happy did not Nabi Sam feel at that time? Look at the yaqeen, look at the confidence, look at the type of trust that she's got in what I say. I don't want to believe in what I see and what I understand. If my Nabi Sam has said this, I don't want to see anything else. It's enough. And I say this because if you have this frame of mind, it's easy to move on. Because every new day is going to bring about a new hurdle. Today is another hurdle. Tomorrow is another hurdle. The next day is the next hurdle. You're going to go to Cape Town, and there's going to be a constant hurdles on this path. What's better? To go on the path of hurdles, or to go on the path that is straight and smooth? What is easier? What is better? To go there and remove the hurdle, they'll put the hurdle back again. Those that have put that hurdle, you move it out, they'll bring it back onto the path. And there is another path that is guided, it's controlled, it's protected. No hurdles, you're moving straight. What's easier? What's better? Why get into this? Literature, news, this person is saying, that person, right? How many people's minds are you going to fix up? After all, someone is asking about ISIS. Why? Forget all these things here. Do your work. Apna kaam karo. Apna kaam karo. Al Mustafa Rahmatullah used to say, jisko kaam karna hota hai, wo sawal nahi karta zyada. The one that wants to work, he doesn't ask too many questions. Like a person has got a deadline to meet now. He needs to open his shop, right? And he's going to see that type of customers. And you are questioning, why do you think you need to go to shop? Tell me 10 reasons why you have to go to your shop. And you know now, you got 100 customers waiting there for you. Each customer is worth, say, 10,000 rand profit for you. got them all lined up there, 100 customers waiting for you, and this person says, give me 10 reasons why you need to go. And do you think you need that money? But you've got so much, but why must you work so much more? And he's giving a lengthy philosophical argument and explanation. You're going to listen to him. But after that, I can listen to you afterwards. Maybe in Jannah, then you can explain me all that. For now, I'm too busy. Won't you cut him off like that? Because you understand the target to be very great. But when you understand the target to be insignificant, not that important, get into this debate and discussion, etc. By jo kaam karne wale hote hain, wo zyada bahas mubahasa sawal jawab nahi karte. They don't get into discussion. They are targeting something. They got a great objective and they're moving towards the objective. So this is Surah Furqan, right? Surah Nur. And after Surah Nur is Furqan. But Surah Nur is showing you the ways that you will capture this Nur. What? You want to capture the Nur. How are you going to capture it? How are you going to get it? So there's 3 points that Surah Nur illustrates to us how you want to capture this Nur. One is, take care of the eyes. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. Take care of your eyes. In Ramadan, you got it, right? You got it, you got the Nur, you were motivated, you were driving, you were moving, you were consistent, and you had a speed. You don't want anything to come on your right, come on your left. There are going to be those obstacles. People will come. Otherwise, there's no point in living this life. There's no challenge, then there's no point, right? You just come here and you say you want to become a doctor, straight away, in 1 second Allah will make you a doctor. There'll be any challenge left. So in this world you have to strive. There are going to be challenges. So this is a challenge on your iman, that you're going to get oppositions in the world. Someone is saying something, and the oppositions are going to come from within you. Abu Lahab, who was he? He's a challenge from within, from the family. And Azar, who wasn't he? He was the father of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So the challenge is coming from within, not from the outside. And from the intelligent, wa Qaruna wa Fir'auna wa Haman, wa Kanu Mustabsirin, the scientists of the time, they were the challengers of Musa alayhi salam. But they were very intelligent scientists of the time. Kanu Mustabsirin. See what the words the Quran is using. Because up till now, you find engineers, etc., they can't understand that with what mathematical perfection they built up those pyramids. But all of them are dispatched to Jahannam. فَمِنُمْ مَنْ أَخَذْنَا بِذَنْبِهِ وَمِنُمْ مَنْ أَرْسَلْنَا عَلِيْهِ حَاسِبًا وَمِنُمْ مَنْ أَخَذَتُ سَيْحًا. All of them we destroyed, obliterated them, finished, rubbed them out of the first of the surface of the earth. Because their brain, they used it for the wrong things. They had their intelligence, they had their reasoning, but for what reasons they had used it? For wrong things they had used it. So the first thing that is required to capture and to preserve that Nur is take care of your sight. And the taking care of your sight, 2 things you have to do. One is sensual and lustful things. Whether it's little, whether it is a lot. Whether it's just looking, 1 glance, 2 glance, 3 glance, any amount. Don't even experiment. I don't know, I just want to see whether I get any lust or not. Don't experiment. I want to see now, you know, I look at this girl, I want to see whether it's any lust or not, but don't experiment. But you know, for worldly, physical things, you use your brains. But spiritual things, why don't we use our brains? Someone told you, perhaps there's poison here. So you test it out. Let me see if it's really poison or not. Do you test it out? So conveniently, spiritual things, why you go and test it out? The problem may be that you get so hooked on that poison that you can't come out of it afterwards. One side can be dangerous, it can be disastrous. One side, and you can go off complete. She took you and the way she wrapped you up, now you can't come back onto the line. Now you are regretting what happened. But where it started off from the eyes. So that's the one point that you need to look after in your eyes. Anything that is sensual and lustful. The second thing in the eye, it's connected to the eye also, is don't admire people's properties, belongings, etc. Whether it's a motor car, whether it's investment, whether it's this, la tamuddanna aynik. You don't stretch your eye. Well, he's got so much, how much I've got. He's got so much, how much have I got? Well, I've got only 15 million, that person got 50 million. Why don't you look at those people that are living in those shacks we call it Jundol. I was looking at the Arabic equivalent. Jousak. Near Jundol, isn't it? Jousak. Jousak is the Arabic equivalent of Jundol. So at that time also they were living in Jundol. Don't think it's only the 21st century South Africa that we are living in Jundol. That time also they were living. Jousakul Mutahaddimi, right? So that time also they were living in that. So if there are people living on in that, why don't you compare yourself against those people? You're comparing yourself with those people that are in the 50 million, 100 million bracket. Do you compare yourself against these people? So the two wrongs that are connected to the eye, one is the lustful and sensual thing, and one is when we are admiring other people's wealth, admiring. And then when with that admiration, what happens is we lose the sense of gratitude and appreciation. Where our heart's supposed to be appreciated, Allah, you did so much and so much. Allah, I can't thank you, Allah, so much you're doing. Allah, don't hold me. So much your gifts, Allah, forgive me. Like you have given me this and forgive me also. You gave and forgave. Allah Ta'ala, you give and forgive. So that must be our attitude. Allah, you give and forgive. I can't do justice to what gifts you have given me. So this is one area in Surah Nur is coming in, right? And the second area that's coming in Surah Nur, how to preserve this whole momentum, you know, this motivation and this nur, is correct the tongue. Istalakkawnahu bi alsinatikum wa taquluna bi afwahikum ma laysa lakum bihi. Al-Mustafa Rahmatullah gave an incident, you know. One person, saintly person from Purab is one area in India. So he was going very well, very smoothly he's going. And suddenly he died, he declined right down. I was wondering what happened to me. I was moving so well, and suddenly I took a dive. So he went to one person, and the second person, eventually one Buzurg told him, perhaps kisi ke shan mein gustakhi ho gayi. Perhaps you have overused yourself. You have abused, insulted some Buzurg. Think about it. Thought about it, he said, yeah. That Mawal Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah had passed on fatwa, and I had challenged him. I had spoken something immodest. I had challenged him. So, well, the only way is to go and ask him for a maaf. Wronged him, so it's between you and him. What he did was for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. And he has the type, that level of understanding of Allah Ta'ala that you do not have. The right thing for you was to submit. But you went to challenge him, oppose him, in spite of you not having that knowledge. Like we are jahils. They are great buzurgana dina. You will challenge them. No, I must do this. I need to do this. And challenging people that are far above you. So you want to challenge that person that was above you, and this is where it's brought you. So he'd appealed to him, this is the wrong that I've done. And he set off straight away. He didn't then bat an eyelid. See that the people of the past, like I said, the great thing in them was that you did a mistake, committed a mistake, you acknowledged it. Committed a mistake, you acknowledge it straight away. And it's so easy, so pleasant, and so enjoyable to work with the person. Made a mistake, accepted it, and carrying on. Made a mistake, accepted it, acknowledged it, and moved on. So easy, right? Leave all this discussion, leave all this. But just acknowledge your mistake and move on. The idea is that the time is very short. Very, very short you've got. Just now, the time will be over. And what have you achieved within that time? Are you going to ask questions and this, that? You know that this is the right thing. Now just look more positive and move on. Leave all these things that will distract you. So the second is the misuse of the tongue. Either by speech, incorrectly, ghibat, gossip, etc. Or eating the things that are not right. Allah grant us tawfiq.